A very warm welcome to the Q3 FY25 results conference call of Krsnaa Diagnostics Limited. Before we begin, I would like to remind all participants that today's call may contain forward-looking statements that are forward-looking statements, including but without limitation statements relating to implementation of strategic initiatives and other statements relating to Krsnaa Diagnostics' future business developments and economic performance. While these forward-looking statements indicate our assessment and future expectations concerning the development of our business, a number of risks, uncertainties, and other unknown factors could cause actual developments and results to differ materially from our expectations. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raghav Vedanarayanan from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sagar. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Q3 FY25 results conference call of Krsnaa Diagnostics Limited. Joining us today on the call are Mr. Rajendra Mutha, Chairman and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Yash Mutha, Joint Managing Director, Ms. Pallavi Jain, Executive Director, Mr. Mitesh Dave, Group CEO, Mr. Pawan Daga, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Vivek Jain, Head of Investor Relations. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Yash Mutha for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Raghav. Good afternoon, everyone. I am pleased to welcome you all to Krsnaa Diagnostics Limited's Q3 FY25 earnings conference call. Before I take you through our performance, I'd like to extend my gratitude to the board and our chairman, Mr. Rajendra Mutha, for their trust in recommending me for the post of the Managing Director. Moving on to business, the Union Budget of 2025-26 has reinforced healthcare as a national priority with a 13% rise in allocation for the Ministry of Health and significant investments in PPP models, cancer care, and digital health infrastructure. The Budget 2025-26 marks a transformative leap for India's healthcare sector, introducing key reforms aimed at enhancing accessibility, affordability, and equity. In this budget, healthcare has received enhanced funding. The Ministry of Health and Family Welfare has been allocated rupees 90,958 crores for the fiscal year 2024-25, marking a 12.96% increase from the previous year's revised estimate of rupees 80,517 crores. The National Health Mission's budget has been increased from rupees 31,550 crores in 2023-24 to rupees 36,000 crores in 2024-25, aiming to bolster the healthcare services across the nation. The Pradhan Mantri Jan Arogya Yojana, or PMJY, has risen from rupees 6,800 crores to rupees 7,300 crores, enhancing financial protection for health services to the economically vulnerable populations. There has been also movement in the cancer daycare centers, where the government plans to set up daycare cancer centers in all the district hospitals over the next 3 years, with 200 centers to be established in the fiscal year 2025-26. This initiative is expected to add over 4,500 cancer daycare beds across the district hospitals to bring cancer treatment closer to the patients' homes and reduce the burden on tertiary care centers. Also, the budget extends health insurance under the Pradhan Mantri Jan Arogya Yojana to 1 crore gig workers, providing financial protection against major health expenses. With a strong emphasis on public-private partnerships and the ease of doing business, the budget highlights the pivotal role of private sector collaboration in shaping healthcare as a cornerstone of developed India. At Krsnaa Diagnostics, we are uniquely positioned to capitalize on these reforms, given our strength in the nationwide reach where we have presence in over 18-plus states with more than 3,000-plus centers, making us one of the largest diagnostic service providers in India. We are a leader in the PPP-driven diagnostic services, ensuring affordable, high-quality diagnostics across urban, semi-urban, and rural India. We offer a full suite of radiology, pathology, and teleradiology services across our network. Our hub-and-spoke model allows us to maintain operational efficiency while expanding our footprint, and we also invest in AI-enabled diagnostics and digital health solutions, which are improving service efficiency and diagnostics accuracy. These initiatives reflect a comprehensive approach to improving healthcare accessibility, affordability, and quality across India. In the first 9 months of FY 2025, Krsnaa has achieved an impressive 17% year-on-year revenue growth, reaching ₹5,311 million. Increased awareness of our high-quality service offerings combined with competitive pricing has significantly boosted patient volumes and test counts. On the financial front, the EBITDA surged 39% year-on-year to ₹1,416 million, with margins improving to 27%. I am delighted to share that your company has achieved a remarkable profit of ₹569 million in the 9 months ending FY24, equaling the full-year profit of the previous year, demonstrating our continued focus on operational efficiency through strategic initiatives. We are confident in maintaining this positive trajectory in the coming quarters. However, in this quarter, our revenue was impacted by a combination of seasonal variations and temporary operation factors. The earlier conclusion of the Mumbai BMC project, along with a delayed ramp-up of our Maharashtra CT and Madhya Pradesh MRI installations due to site handover delays, led to this temporary dip in the revenue. Additionally, there were certain operational challenges in select states, including Karnataka, Assam, which have also contributed to short-term volume moderations. These factors have affected the quarter's performance. However, with our ongoing site activations underway and operational efficiencies being reinforced, we remain positive in continuing our momentum in the upcoming quarters. I would like to now hand over the call to Ms. Pallavi to walk you through the developments in our PPP domain. Over to you, Pallavi.
Thank you, Mr. Yash. Good afternoon, everyone. At Krsnaa, we firmly believe that our employees are the backbone of our success, and we are committed to fostering a work environment that prioritizes their well-being, growth, and professional development. As part of this commitment, we have launched several initiatives aimed at enhancing employee engagement, upskilling, and overall job satisfaction. We have introduced comprehensive training programs designed to equip our workforce with the latest advancements in diagnostic technology, ensuring they remain at the forefront of the industry standards. I am delighted to announce that Krsnaa Diagnostics has been honored with the Leading Human Resource Transformation Award by the esteemed India HR Summit and Award. Let me just brief you about the recent developments in Krsnaa. We are proud to announce that 12 of our laboratories have been accredited by NABL this quarter, bringing our total to 49 laboratories, one of the highest NABL accredited chains in the industry. In the state of Jharkhand, we have successfully executed an agreement with the authorities. The implementation of two centers is expected to be completed by the first quarter of FY26. In Maharashtra, we have successfully commissioned 40 CT scan machines. The remaining 50 CT scans and 17 MRI machines will be operational soon, with the revenue projections expected to materialize from the first quarter of fiscal year 2026. Over the last 3 months, we have expanded to further 284 collection centers nationwide. Now, to take you ahead on our retail expansion plans and strategy, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Mitesh. Thank you, everyone. Over to you, Mr. Mitesh.
Thanks, Ms. Pallavi. A very good afternoon to everyone. At Krsnaa Diagnostics, we are entering a very exciting and transformational phase with a strong emphasis on expanding our retail footprints and positioning ourselves as the household name in the diagnostic healthcare. While our PPP business continues to be the cornerstone of our success, our retail expansion is unlocking new avenues for the sustained growth. The momentum in our retail segment is truly exciting. We have successfully launched retail operations in 4 of our states, Maharashtra, Punjab, Assam and Odisha, under the brand RPL, by leveraging our existing PPP infrastructure. The response has been encouraging, with the strong demand towards wellness packages and steadily expanding network that is driving brand recognition. With the best-in-class quality, affordable pricing and 24/7 accessibility, RPL is set to redefine convenience and the trust in diagnostics. Our asset-light model ensures rapid scalability, allowing us to expand aggressively without heavy capital investments. Retail. In our vision, which is very clear to becoming a go-to brand for the diagnostic in India, the diagnostic industry is witnessing a paradigm shift, with consumer prioritizing preventive healthcare and digital-first solutions, where we are well positioned to capitalize this trend by strengthening our B2C presence, expanding our retail footprints in metro cities and high growth tiers, tier 1 and 2, along with tier 3 markets where there is a huge vacuum as well. Technology and AI enabled diagnostics, enhancing service efficiency and AI powered digital pathology, automation and seamless online bookings, wellness and preventive healthcare offerings, customized health screenings, packages to cater to rising demands for the early disease detection, and proactive healthcare management. Certain strategic collaborations and partnerships helping to expand our tie-ups with the hospitals, corporate wellness programs, and the many digital health platforms. With our expanding retail network, digital transformation, and unwavering commitment to quality, Krsna is poised to become a leader in India's high-growth diagnostic retail market. At Krsna, we are focused on expanding our home collection services to provide convenient, high-quality diagnostic at patients' doorstep. We are strengthening our network of trained phlebotomists across urban and rural areas to ensure wider accessibility. Our digital platforms, including the websites and mobile app, enable seamless appointment bookings and real-time tracking. By optimizing logistics and lab processing, we ensure faster sample collections and quicker report deliveries. We are also collaborating with the corporates, insurance providers, to integrate home collection into the wellness programs. Additionally, we are doing patient education and awareness campaigns to promote proactive healthcare. With a strong commitment to quality, hygiene and reliability, our home collection services bring accurate and affordable diagnostic directly to the people's homes, ensuring better health outcomes for all. Moreover, Krsna Diagnostic is proud to be a trusted partner for more than 50,000 plus doctors across 18 states, working tirelessly to ensure world-class diagnostic services reach even the most remotest and the underserved region in India. Through our cutting-edge technology and state-of-art laboratory and the commitment to excellence, we empower healthcare professionals with the accurate, timely and reliable diagnostics insights. By bridging the gap between the advanced medical diagnostics and accessibility, we contribute to improving patients' outcome and strengthening the nation's healthcare ecosystem. We are energized by the potential ahead and look forward to delivering strong, sustainable growth in this place. At Krsna, under RPL, our aim is to be doctor's preferred partner for anytime, anywhere, affordable and assured diagnostic service provider. With that, we'll take you through our financials and the operational highlights, and I'm handing over further to Mr. Pawan to take a deeper insight into the quarter three performance. Over to Mr. Pawan. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mitesh. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me just brief you about the Q3 and 9 months financial performance. Revenue for Q3 FY25 stood at rupees 1,745 million, a 10% year-on-year increase, driven high volumes in both radiology and pathology segments. Other income for the quarter primarily comprises interest income from fixed deposits, along with gain from strategic capital reallocations and structured financial initiatives. EBITDA for Q3 FY25 stood at ₹466 million with a margin of 27%, reflecting a strong operational efficiency. Net profits stood at ₹194 million, registering a 50% growth year-on-year. In 9 months, we have achieved revenue for first 9 months stood at ₹5,311 million, a 17% year-on-year increase. EBITDA stood at ₹1,416 million, registering a 39% year-on-year increase. Net profit stood at ₹569 million, registering a 49% year-on-year growth. Our diluted EPS stood at ₹17.26, registering a 47% growth year-on-year. Our company continues to maintain a net debt-free status, a significant achievement. Our receivable for 9 months FY25 are on a higher side, primarily due to a delay payment from Himachal Pradesh and Karnataka. Currently, our receivable days average around 60 to 65 days, except for a project in HPN Karnataka, where they extend to 120 days. As a result, management has decided to moderate operations in these regions. However, we are confident that by the year end, our receivable days in HP Karnataka will reduce to 90 days, and by next year, our overall receivables for the company will normalize to 65 to 70 days. With this, we conclude our opening remarks, and we would now like to open the floor for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Bala Murali Krishna from Oman Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Regarding the execution, so this quarter, I think you had told that there is reasons for not executing any city scan centers or MRI centers. So what about the Q4? So how we can see the Q4 panning out in the execution side in pathology and radiology?
So in terms of implementation of our PPP projects, where there were certain delays due to site handovers, which is typical of our PPP, but the PPP business, we have now identified certain areas and the team is working on it. So we expect the rollouts to happen in Q4 and therefore, the business coming back in Q4.
So Pawan this side, just adding to the Yash points, 6 centers are already targeted to be operational in Q4, and certain sites and the work completion will, as a progress, we accordingly give updates on more centers to be operationalized by end of March or maybe the first month of the next financial year.
Okay, that's clear. And from the B2C segment, so what is the action was there in this quarter, top line side, and
sorry, Mr. Murali, we can't hear you very clearly. If you can repeat the question, please.
Yeah, in the retail segment, so what is the contribution in this current quarter, and what is the expectation from the next year, FY26, from the B2C retail segment?
Yeah. So the B2C, if you, we have started the B2C foray recently. So the contribution is not very significant, but in the four states that we've seen, the results are very encouraging, and we expect going forward as the business scales up, the contribution will be significant towards the next financial year.
Okay, Okay. And could you please throw some light on the pipeline tenders? I think we are discussing about some Sundaram state tenders in the 3rd quarter, but we don't know whether that was already awarded or we have not received that tender, or it is still we are waiting for the results, or any pipeline tenders for any states to register some light on that.
Yeah, so for example, we had participated in Jharkhand tender, which we won with 2 centers. Some of the tenders are in the pipeline where, you know, work is going on. As and when they will happen, we'll announce it. Yeah.
Okay, that's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please restrict yourselves to 2 questions each. If you have any follow-up questions, you may rejoin the queue. The next question comes from Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, I just wanted to understand what are the revenue from radiology and pathology, and what are the margins?
Yeah, so for the Q3, radiology contribution was 49% and pathology contribution was 51%. So this is the first quarter where we have surpassed or the ratio which we previously mentioned. We want to be a 50-50 modality where we want to achieve the revenue 50-50, so which we have already achieved it.
Okay.
And the margins side, radiology always be at a higher margin, but at a center level, somewhere around close to 40%, and the pathologies are close to 25 to 30% margin at a center level or project level.
Okay. And sir, from the PPT, you said, in the PPT, it's mentioned that existing centers had 36% margin and new centers at 17% margin. So how long a new center will it take for a new center to contribute that 36% margin?
So typically, from a PPP project perspective, depending on whether it is a radiology or pathology, the maturity level stages varies. But normally, it takes for pathology around 1 to 2 years to become mature. And pathology it would be around 1 year, and radiology it could be about 1.5 years. Where they can come to the mature level of revenues.
Pathology 1 year and radiology is 1.5.
So radiology, for example, it ranges between 1 to 3 years in achieving the mature level of revenues, and pathology comes in around 1 year.
Okay, sir. Sir, one last question. I just want to understand your retail expansion, like the business model of RPL. What are we doing there? How are we planning to expand our radiology and pathology business through this retail?
Okay, so having said that, the overall retail, we would like to position ourselves as one of the most affordable, accurate, and the 24/7 service provider, as an holistic service provider or integrated service provider, considering radiology and pathology both. Radiology adds a cutting edge to me positioning in total as in retail space across India, and in that we will be taking traditional as well as the new age route both. It's kind of a hybrid wherein there will be the collection centers followed with the new age digital and AI platforms for the patient convenience. So it's going to be a completely different positioning what is there today with the any of the existing players.
Sir, basically it's like instead of a pharma retail outlet, you're opening a radiology and pathology center, right?
Yeah, basically if you see, we already have a network of our PPP centers and our labs. And as we mentioned earlier, we're trying to leverage the existing infrastructure to foray into the PPP, where we would be utilizing these labs to process the samples that we'll be collecting through the home collection services, as well as trying to get patients to come and avail the imaging services that we have, which are already serving the PPP customers. And like Mitesh said, since our business is operational 24/7, that makes us a differentiator from the market perspective. And looking at all these different attributes or variables is how we are looking to pour into the B2C segment.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Sir, also one last question. You mentioned in the previous quarter that...
Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. May we request you return to the question queue for follow-up questions, please? There are several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. So my first question is, Yash, you mentioned various reasons for, slightly lower revenue growth this quarter. But from your earlier answers, the Maharashtra rollout also will probably start contributing only from Q1. Plus, it was mentioned that, the states where our receivables are high, we are kind of doing moderation in terms of operations. So at least next quarter, the growth should pick up from Q1 of next year. Is that how we should look at it?
So we are expecting Q4 also to demonstrate some growth. As we said, there were certain decisions we had taken, because of these states as well as certain operational challenges. But now both from a, if I talk about from the Maharashtra projects, we are gearing up to ensure faster implementation of our centers, like what Pavan also mentioned. So in the Q4, we are also expecting to see some of this benefits to come through. And the larger benefit will also come from Q1 of the next financial year.
And Pavan this side, last 1 year, we already deployed 40 CT scan centers in Maharashtra and other locations. So these centers are also started maturing. The Q3, where the seasonality impact and other festivity and other parameters. So Q4, there's 40 centers which see a significant spike in the revenue. This also going to contribute in Q4. And the new centers which going to be in Q4 and plus in the Q1 of next year, which slightly in next financial year, but the centers which already deployed in last 1 year will start contributing or already started contributing the revenue. We see a spike in the revenue this quarter.
Okay. And this receivable issue from a couple of states, I think from HP, it's been quite some time, even before election, it has persisted. So anything to read into that? Why the receivable is still not getting normalized? Any color on that? It could be helpful.
So we already received, Pavan this side, we already received 30 crores of a collection in this month from January to till the date. Certain receivable already had a discuss with an authority, which already at a final stage to getting release by end of the February or maybe the first week of or mid of the March.
Okay, got it. And
continue.
So on the on the B2C side, can you help us understand the unit economics both for COCO and POFO? And, what are the typical revenue levels, break-even points, since now we have four, state operational with some proof of concept centers also operating. And how do we see scale up next year in terms of numbers? That would be helpful.
Yeah, hi, Mitesh this side. So like, as we said, we started our operations starting in the quarter three. And we are just into the beginning of the quarter four. So it's too early to give out any heads up onto the unit economics around COCO or FOCO. But however, as a company, as a strategy, we have looked upon or we will be branching on mainly onto the asset-like modeling. But what it would be differentiator considering the market, we will be not just competitive, we rather will be pretty affordable as compared to any of our peers.
For the next year scale-up plans, can you indicate?
Yeah, so next year we are looking to have at least 500 touch points in the states where we have launched our operations for now. And further to that, there are multiple business models that we will be rolling it out to adding up to not just the network, but even to the revenues.
Got it. Thank you. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Kashish Thakur from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So just wanted to know, what is your outlook for diagnostic sector as a whole for FY26 going ahead, post-COVID, the things have been quite diagnosed, like drastically changed around, right? So just wanted to know that first thing.
Yeah, so if you see, considering the budget announcements as well, the way Krsna has been growing, we are certainly positive about the outlook from the overall diagnostics perspective. Also with the foray in retail and the early results that we've seen, which are very encouraging. So we do look at a positive outlook in the next financial year as well.
Understood. Second question will be on, like, can you just quantify the test performed and the patient footfall for the quarter?
Yeah, the details will be provided to you offline. If you can reach out to our CFO or Vivek will reach out to you.
Understood. And one last bookkeeping question. So during the quarter, we have elevated other income. So any specific reason for the same?
No, so as we mentioned, there were certain capital reallocations as well as, you know, the regular interest income. So it's part of our, you know, routine operations, nothing out of the ordinary.
So, like, so what can be a range, what we can expect for FY26?
Sorry, if you could repeat the question, please.
What can be a brief range of what we can expect for FY26?
You know, it's around 5 crores is what we are looking quarterly.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Surya Narayan Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. First question is on the budget initiative or budget provisions, what it has been announced. So, at the district level, the cancer treating centers. So what does this really mean for us? Whether it is indicating about a possible expansion of centers across India, or it is of the test volume or scan volume that is giving a positive indication?
Well, it's, if you see, it's a recent budget announcement. So the way we understand or we are given to understand, this is an ambitious plan of the government to set up daycare centers in cancer where they might provide certain, you know, chemotherapies or radiotherapies. But what it means for us is, you know, this will result into patients requiring certain diagnostic tests, you know, whether it is pathology or imaging tests. And given our presence in district hospitals, we expect these patients to come to our centers, and therefore we believe this will certainly be a welcome move for Krsna Diagnostics.
So basically, this is a facilitation of our centers at the district level for radiology as well as pathology.
Be one of the avenues for customers to come through and avail Krsna services.
Sure, sir. Second point is on the radiology growth that you have indicated, means the radiology revenue share what you have mentioned. So based on that, it looks like radiology has seen a kind of 2% decline YOY. Why should one or why should we see a kind of a decline in the radiology revenue, sir?
No, so the decline is basically because if you see the pathology project that we had entered into last year and some of them which got implemented, so the contribution of pathology revenue has increased. Going forward, you know, like we have Maharashtra CT scan MRI tenders, and as they get implemented, again, there will be a higher contribution from the radiology projects as well. So we're trying to see overall it should come at a healthy mix of 50 to 50%. In some quarters, it might be 51-49 or 55-45. But we're trying to see that both of them have a decent amount of contribution to the overall pie of the revenues.
Okay, but whether we have any control over this revenue mix, because it is up to the kind of a tender, whether it will come in the radiology or it is in the pathology. So ideally, it seems that we have no control. But why should we target about 50-50 only?
No, if you look at it from an overall perspective, like the previous years, Krsna had a lot of radiology business. Then there were pathology projects which came in because government also realized, you know, there were not enough pathology labs or pathology services, and therefore the pathology business came in. So that shift, and again from a diversification perspective, it is also good to have a healthy mix of radiology and pathology and as a holistic service offering for us. Equally, if you see, both have a different, you know, capital outlays. So considering these different attributes, we believe it's good to have a well-diversified mix of radiology and pathology business. Now, depending on how these tenders come up, the revenue contribution or the revenue mix might change. But from a direction perspective, both have been growing strong over the last many years.
Yeah, just an extended point on it, sir. So it was earlier indicated that Maharashtra implementation is likely to happen by, let's say, this year or in the early part of next year. But so given the kind of no single center addition this year, this quarter, so the 40 is, or the balance 33 is whatever that is there to be implemented. In what time frame that can be implemented practically now that you think?
So, yeah, Pawan, this side, certain sites, as Yash already mentioned, we have a challenge to receive the clear site power connection and the other applications which we have to do related to the licenses and this thing. So, we already had a plan for Q4 where 6 center has to be, and balance will be next couple of quarters, all again depend on subject to site availability and other things. So this is a roadmap to implement the Maharashtra radiology projects.
Sure, sir. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nancy Yadav from Allegro Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity to ask the question and congratulations on a great set of numbers. I just wanted to confirm the net debt or net cash number for this quarter.
So I think, Nancy, we can provide this number to you offline. Vivek will reach out to you on this.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Meghna Agarwal from Mount Intra. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. First is that what are the new projects for pipeline for the company? Like what are the tenders that is going to be operationalized in?
So Meghna, in terms of new tenders, these tenders in the pipeline, but you know, just to ensure that it leads to unnecessary increased competitiveness, we would respond to this question offline.
Okay. And the second question would be like, any update on the Rajasthan tender?
Yeah, so on the Rajasthan tender, you know, in the previous government, we had won the cases multiple times. Whenever the government had appealed, so we have won this and the High Court orders came in our favor. Now with the new government, discussions are going on. There have been given dates for the next hearing. So as and when we get the updates, we will be keeping you posted. As of now, we are, and as we mentioned in the past as well, we are confident of the approach that we've taken so far. Having said that, we continue on this growth without Rajasthan, as we've been mentioning in the past as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Ranveer Singh from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Just two questions. One, how much revenue you feel has been deferred due to delay in projects there in Q3, which may come in Q4 or partly maybe in Q1 FY25? 26, sorry.
So just to give you a rough estimate, while I don't have the details, it could be in the range of about 15 to 20 crores that has been impacted in this quarter, which you know, might come in the subsequent quarters because of these moderations or delays or whatever.
Okay, so why I'm asking, because the 25% revenue growth guidance earlier we have given, 17% we have achieved in 9 months. So it seems that even if that was not deferred, still we have sort of that guidance we gave earlier.
Sorry, I couldn't hear the last part of the question, please.
So, in 9 months, we have achieved 17% growth. Even if that 20 crore would have come in Q3, still, I think that growth, that 25%, we may not have been, have achieved what I can see based on 9 months. Earlier, we had given 25% growth guidance. Yeah.
Yeah. Had these aberrations not happened or the delays not happened, we would have been on the track to maintain the guidance that we've given. And we believe, with certain actions, strategic initiatives we've taken, we are hopeful to achieve this by Q4 as well.
Okay, understood. And now the number of tests you said that maybe offline you can get, but can you give some trend that whether realization per test is whether this is in positively moving, it is uptrending or downtrending there in radiology side?
Yeah, so if you see, our prices are hard coded as per the contracts, and the realization really isn't depending on market forces. It is based on what prices we have submitted. Some of the recent tenders, if you have to give you a reference, they are at slightly better prices in the past. So yes, from a realization, they are increasing. But again, because we are in the PPP business, some of these details we'll prefer to give it offline.
Okay, okay. Thanks. Other questions has already been answered. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Dipali from Ventura Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. My first question is regarding Apulki hospitals. We were expecting the first hospital to be operational by January or February. What's the update there? And we were to operate 30 image centers from where we were procuring the machines from United Imaging. What's the update there? How many machines have been procured?
Yeah, so with regards to Apulki's, the hospital getting operationalized, there were certain, site delays or, but we are expecting the hospital to get operationalized from April onwards. The construction is almost done and, therefore, April is where we believe it will start beginning the operations. In terms of the equipment purchases from United Imaging, I think Pawan will just give
so
you
that. So, Pawan this side, we have the first order of our within United has already placed. Out of that, two machines has already arrived and 5 years in process will be by end of February or first week of March will be arrived. So total 7 equipments which we already placed in order and out of that 2 has received.
Okay. Have the BMC operational issues been sorted, like regarding there were a lot of news which were coming up? Is it still going on?
So, the BMC, all the issues were sorted, however, the BMC project, because of early concluding, the budget got over as there were more centers which were added on. So currently the BMC project is on hold. As and when it comes for rebidding, we will update you.
Okay. Could you also please make me understand what's the structure behind the PATH and radio centers? Because when we talk about total radiology centers, we have 90 centers, but we have MRI and CT combined 178 machines, and the tele-reporting centers are different. Similarly, for pathology, we have somewhere around 3,400 collection centers, but when we talk about the operational centers of PATH in the PPT, it's only 1,368. I'm not able to understand how to correlate this data. I cannot understand the whole structure.
Yeah, basically we have, on the radiology side, we have CT scan, MRI, and then we have a combination of CT scan, MRI centers. We also have teleradiology centers, which are basically X-ray centers with certain digitizers. On the pathology side, we have labs and the collection centers which follow the hub and spoke model. So each state, depending on the project tender or the dynamics, there will be certain labs which are connected to collection centers. So that's basically how the entire structure is.
So the reduction in operational PATH labs from quarter 2 to quarter 3, that is from 1737 to 1368, what does it signify?
Could you repeat the question, please?
So there has been a reduction in the operational PATH labs in the CPT from 1737 to 1368. There's almost a 400 center drop in the PATH operational centers in the PPT. What is this? I'm not able to understand this reduction in the operational PATH labs.
So you are talking about the slide number 9. So this is our slide of tender which is under implementation, which are the tenders which are already implemented, which has been removed from this slide. If you go on the first slide where the snapshot has been given, So we have total 178 radiology centers which is up and running, and telereporting centers which Yash has mentioned, which is an X-ray telereporting, which is in total 1,434, and total 121 pathology lab and 3,423 collection center of pathology which are operational. Slide number 9 gives the status, the project which are under implementation. The project which are already operational and implemented has been removed from that slide.
So it's a basically tracker to demonstrate that certain projects were under implementation. So if I had an example, X number of labs are under implemented. As they get implemented, they move to the previous slide and you'll see a dip in these numbers. So it is not the labs going down. They're actually which were under implementation are now implemented and then they move to the previous slide. I hope this answers your question.
Yes, just one last. 136 is the operation.
Sorry, ma'am. May we request you return to the question queue for the follow-up question,
okay,
please? Thank you. Okay. The next question comes from the line of Neha Kharodia from Abacus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, everyone. And thanks for the opportunity. So my question was regarding the guidance on the sales growth. So we have earlier alluded to the sales growth of about 25% for the year. And so far in 9 months, we have been at a run rate of 17%. So just wanted to understand how to look at it going forward for the year.
Yeah, so Neha, as we said in terms of our guidance earlier as well, though we had certain, let's say, volume moderation or operational setbacks in Q3, we are aspirational and, you know, positive about achieving this by the year end. There are a lot of strategic initiatives we are in place, including faster ramp up of our business, as well as, you know, including the increase of volume. So we are positive to achieve the guidance that we have quoted for the by end of Q4.
Understood. So that would mean a very high sequential as well as year-on-year growth, 40%
yes,
plus kind of growth.
We are aware of that, and we are, as I said, we are working ferociously to achieve it. There are certain initiatives we are trying to roll out, which should hopefully allow us to achieve these guidance that we've quoted for.
Understood. Great. And also regarding the receivables that were pending from Himachal Pradesh and Karnataka, so that number was in range of about 120 crores. So just wanted to understand how much of that is pending currently.
So 30 crore of Himachal Pradesh has already received, as I mentioned already on the call, Neha. And certain another payments from Himachal, which is already approved at a last stage, where we are expecting by end of February or first week of March. And certainly, this is not restricting us to collect the balance amount, which we are again going first. The second tranche of their payment will release to us. And about Karnataka, the payments are already has been approved, which are at a final stage to be get released to us. Maybe in a couple of weeks, maybe we are expecting the payment to be received.
Understood. So is this understanding correct that maybe by Q4 end or by end of FY25, the balance receivables will be recovered both from the Karnataka and HP?
Yes, so we are, you know, like we mentioned earlier as well, whilst in HP we've seen traction, we've received our money, you know, almost 30 crores plus. On the Karnataka front also, there have been approvals and we are awaiting to get the payments. Hopefully by end of this financial year, the Karnataka and HP put together should come somewhere between 90 to 100 days is what we are, you know, aspiring to or targeting to. Of course, our efforts are to ensure that we collect as much as we can.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Aditya C. from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. So if I read the slide 9 correctly, the projects under implementation in MRI CT, that is radiology, is 90 on a base of almost 180. Does that imply 50% expansion in capacity and a similar growth in the collection center where we see 1850 getting added on 3400. So is the inference correct that we'll see a 50% capacity expansion on today's base?
So radiology slightly correct. And the pathology collection center, if you see 1368, which is already a part of 3000 plus collection center. so which is already there added in the kitty. So only now 489 pathology collection center has to be added. So this 1300 collection center has not added just in one quarter. This has been operational over a period of last 9 months or a 3 quarters.
Got it. And what is the number for pathology labs that are yet to get that are supposed to be added on today's base of 121 odd?
Maybe the project in hand, currently the Jharkhand lab which is under implementation, so by Q4 end or maybe in the first quarter of next financial year, the Jharkhand lab will be implemented. Maybe the first month of first quarter one of next financial year.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from Pranay Khandelwal from Tirthan Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to ask, get some clarity on the receivables front only. Can you give the absolute amount for receivables as of 9 month end?
Yeah, we'll provide these numbers to you offline, Pranay.
All right. Also wanted to know about Apulki. So Baner is almost done. I believe there was another that was finalized, which was the Kalyan center. What's the update on that?
So the Kalyan Dombivli, again, you know, the agreements have been executed, and now they will initiate the process of constructing the hospital. So that is also currently progressing well, and we should see the site also getting implemented within the next year and a half.
All right. And can you also provide me the radiopathology breakup for last quarter?
So last quarter, our radiology stands for 51% and pathology at a 49%.
Okay. All right. That'll be all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Shivam Dave from Prodigy Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Am I audible? Hello.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. I wanted to understand what is the total investment that we'd have to make in the B2C segment, say in the next 1 or 2 years?
Well, hi, Mitesh this side. So for retail space as such, we are harping mainly on our existing infra, wherein we are going to leverage our existing labs and the radio centers, which calls for pretty less investment as compared to anywhere else. Secondly, we are expanding our network through the satellite model. Again, that adds up to the pretty less investment. Whatever may be the investment that we'll look out for, that would be mainly towards the creating awareness and the doctors and the patients outreach program, and that won't make it a much significant investment outlook.
Okay, is there any way you can quantify that?
So, well, we are in a process of expanding. We have initiated the operations and all. How the market behaves, how the dynamics changes, and what is the really requirement comes across, that will decide the overall course of investment, because that won't be that significant. So even we haven't quantified for now what exactly we'll look out for.
Yeah, so just to add, Shivam, the way we mentioned earlier, our investments in the lab setup and the diagnostic centers has already been done. The investment in terms of franchisees or the KBS is not on our account. It will mostly be done by the franchisees. The investment that we will be doing is mostly on the resources side, the phlebotomist, and maybe certain marketing spends, and which of course, you know, as we are seeing the encouraging results, you know, we can provide you with a more finite answer hopefully by the end of this quarter or, you know, beginning of the next financial year.
Okay, that's helpful. And going forward, let's say 3 years out, do we expect like 10-15% contribution from B2C on our overall business or something more than that? Like, let's say 3 years out.
Yeah, in fact, we are aspirational to have a higher contribution of the overall B2C revenue to the total revenue pie. We believe it will slightly go and then increase in the subsequent years.
Okay, Okay. And just my second question was on our overall ROCE. Like today we are doing around, I think if I'm not wrong, 10% or 12%. You know, how do you think this should materially change going forward, given that, you know, we are entering B2C and we have certain investments that can materialize? Where do you think this ROCE number can go going forward?
Yeah, so if you see, the ROCE is a fraction of, you know, the investment that we do and the revenue that is generated and consequent returns out of it. Given our model, you know, where historically, if you've seen, there's been significant investments in the last couple of years, but the revenue has not been commensurate to the investments we do. So the ROCE does look subdued. We have tried different initiatives to also further improve the ROCE, including the asset-light model that we're trying, the B2C space where we're foraying with asset-light, you know, the lesser investments. So these, a combination of these various initiatives that we have implemented, we see the ROCE certainly to improve in the years to come. Even if you see from a trajectory perspective, the ROCE has been improving quarter on quarter, and we expect with these various initiatives, the ROCE to continue improving in the subsequent quarters.
Right. Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Amruta Dehakar Sani from Wealth Managers India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. So my question is, apart from Rajasthan, where, you know, the tender stuck right now, are there any other tenders where we've received but which are not under implementation?
No. Except for Rajasthan, all other tenders that we've won are implemented or under implementation.
Okay. And about the retail segment, the B2C, as in on slide number 8, where you have the state-wise breakup of the centers, so the retail centers are included in the imbalance or they are not included there?
No, they are not included.
Okay. So in which states do we have these 80 KBLs?
So these 80 KBAs are spread between Maharashtra, some of them in Punjab, and some of them in Assam.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Bharat from Equirius. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Ash. Thanks for the opportunity. So I just wanted to get a sense on exactly what is happening in Karnataka, why receivables have gone up. Can you elaborate what exactly has happened there?
Karnataka, it's a project that we've been doing for many years. Now, you know, with change of officers, change of government, they would like to look at the process differently. They have introduced some new process of, you know, automations, which has caused certain delays and therefore also delays in the receivable. But we're in, you know, conversations with the authorities, and hopefully by March end this should be normalized.
But the government would have changed almost a year. It has been like 1.5 years ago, right? The government has changed. So why we are seeing this issue is popping up now?
So basically what happens is, you know, as the bureaucrats come in and, you know, with the changing government, everyone would like to bring in some new systems. So they thought of bringing more automations, insurance-led processes. And therefore, when these processes are getting introduced, the system gets revamped, and therefore there are, you know, the challenges that we are currently facing. But again, as I said, from our experience, we see this happening, you know, whilst Karnataka, we didn't expect it to take so long. But with the conversations we're having, we are hopeful that this will get resolved very soon.
Right. And can you talk a bit about DMC issues which we are facing? First, what is the issue and how we are looking forward to it?
DMC, there's no issue. I think we have delivered what was in terms of the volumes and the budget that was there. Now the authorities are looking to re-tender it, given with a wider scope. So those conversations are going on. As and when the tender gets published, we will be participating in it, given our experience. Per se, there is no issue with BMC anymore.
Has that tender been over? Because I thought that tender was received almost a year ago, or 2 years ago.
So what had happened is the tender was for 2 years, but then the authorities added more centers. And therefore, you know, with more centers adding up, the volumes increased, and because the volume increased, the budget that was allocated got exhausted. And now, if they have to increase the budget, they have gone through the new tender process where they are also trying to increase the scope of services, as we are given to understand.
And does the existing vendor, since we have been serving that market, do we have an upper hand in that tender then again?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
So since it will be reintroduced, this tender will come to the market, so will we be better placed to win this tender as compared to the competition?
Yeah, I mean, considering our strike rate and our past experience, plus we've been doing this project, we are, in our opinion, better placed to win this tender. Of course, and as and when the tender comes, we'll be able to evaluate and then take a decision on this.
Okay. And is there any update on the Rajasthan tender?
As we've discussed, with whatever the court hearings which have come in our favor, with the previous government, with the new government, there are discussions going on, and hopefully more updates as and when these decisions come through. But we are positive and confident that Rajasthan hopefully should be in our favor based on whatever the process we follow so far.
And with all the
sorry to interrupt, Bharat sir, may we request you return to the question queue for follow-up questions, please. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ruchita Kadge from iWealth Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. A very good afternoon. So my question was predominantly on a pathology collection center. So if I see from last December, we've almost doubled down our pathology collection center. But if I kind of remove the realization on it, it's kind of on a declining trend, which was around, let's say, what I have removed is 5,000 per day. So that has declined to around 2,500. So is this the right way to look at it? And what is causing this decline? If you could, help me understand.
Yeah. So, Ruchita, that's not the way to look at our business. As I mentioned earlier as well, our business or the pathology side, even if you look at it, is a combination of the hub and spoke model, basically the number of labs and the number of collection centers, the test menu and the prices. So, if I have taken an Assam project, the test menu is different, the price of those tests are different. If I take the Odisha project, the test menu and the prices are different. So it is, it will be a wrong comparison to just take the total revenue and divide by the total number of patients, because the test menu differs from state to state, project to project. Having said that, when we look at from a business perspective, what we have done is, for example, in the previous, based on the previous tender that we would have submitted looking at the test, our ambition is to continue to see how we can increase the prices going forward, considering the investment that we have to make, and accordingly the business has to be seen.
So we should see it on the number of tests that are being conducted and what is the revenue per test.
Okay. So, certain states, the projects, there are X number of tests. It could be, say, 30 tests or 130 tests, and then there are prices that are hard-coded as part of the tender that is being awarded to us. And these determine what is the project revenue and how it will be. In certain, like for example, Rajasthan, they were initially a specialized test, and then their later on the tender came for normal test. So it will vary tender to tender.
Okay. For further understanding, I'll take it offline, sir.
I think that will be better.
Sir, if you could give a number, like these pathology collection centers that we are seeing that, we'll be adding another 400-500 centers. So if this would come, what is the implementation timeline for the same?
As I said, from a timeline perspective, we have set up an aggressive timeline to ensure that these collection centers come up and running hopefully by end of Q4. There might be certain slippages and they might extend to Q1, but we are targeting to ensure that they get up and running as quick as possible.
Same with the radiology, sir?
No, radiology will probably take longer time, because the site has to get ready, the government has to give site, then there are certain infrastructure work that has to happen, then the equipments are ordered, and so radiology has a slightly longer duration compared to pathology collection centers.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we'll take that as our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Yash Mota for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for joining our Q3 FY25 earnings call. Hopefully we were able to address all the queries. If any questions remain unanswered or if any analysts were not able to come in the queue, please feel free to reach out to our investor relationships team headed by Mr. Vivek Jain. Looking forward to interact with you in the future quarters. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.